Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Do it or die now. Stand your ground. Don't let your bad breaks go getting you down.
Welcome back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. Hope you check out my website when you get a chance, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there, lots of things you can read, listen. You can find my blog there. You can subscribe to my newsletter, take the poll question. Every week we ask a different question. We want to know what you think. So check all that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com, including the work that Pete Sepp has given us over the years. As a longtime member of our Brain Trust, he's Vice President for Communication at the National Taxpayers Union. Pete, thanks again for hanging out with us. Talk to us about, a lot of people don't realize, there are quite a few tax issues on the table, even as we speak, aren't there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we keep hearing a lot of reform plans coming out of the Republican presidential candidates. We've got Herman Cain with the 999 plan. We've got John Huntsman with a different plan, Mitt Romney. They would basically streamline the tax system, broaden the base, lower the rates. But there are tax policies in the here and now that we need to not only worry about, but also support. There's bipartisan developments, for example, showing that a repatriation window for a lot of U.S. earnings that are parked overseas.
Over a trillion dollars of money, of capital, folks, that could be brought back to the United States and invested in the United States in some form or fashion, even passive investments would help, parked here instead of parked over there, if we could lower the rate on those on repatriating those funds.
Yeah, that is one big issue that is uniting Republicans and Democrats. There's also a new coalition called the Rate Coalition, Reduce America's Taxes Equitably. Democrats and Republicans coming together to say our system is uncompetitive. It has one of the worst tax rates in the industrialized world.
We're about
world.
To have the highest corporate tax. When Japan lowers theirs, we will have the highest corporate tax in America, in the world.
That's right, and not just the statutory, the advertised rate, but the effective rate after the deduction. So there's really no excuse not to do something about it.
Right. Well, it's really exciting to me to see other countries, you know, as dysfunctional as they may have been, they're starting to get the idea that you know, this high tax situation, this profligate spending is not the way to the future. It's the way to ruin. And it almost seems like America's learning this last, doesn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, I have a lot of pride in this country. I think that the achievements of our military, especially today with the death of another terrorist leader,
right,
those are things that we ought to be celebrating, and the freedom that we spread around the world. It is strange, though, how we now have some lessons to learn from others with fiscal policy, from Sweden, for example, which has abolished its death tax, from countries that are now considering constitutional amendments requiring balanced budgets or at least limiting the amount of debt they can incur. We've been trying to pass something like that to our Constitution for several decades now.
How about this, and Pete? Russia has a flat tax.
Yes, Russia has a flat rate income tax.
As Steve Forbes pointed out to us a year or so ago, you know, Russia's beat us to the flat tax in the flat tax race.
Yes, even though we beat them to the moon, I'm wondering they might have gotten the better part of the deal, at least economically.
I agree. So, what are some other things that are out there that when you look at reform, when you look at some of the reform discussions, you just brought up a few of the movements that are out there in play. When you think about that, do you see this as a real tide, a real shift in thinking, a real level of momentum that could actually turn into something positive in a year or two?
I think so, and I see more opportunities for bipartisan and transpartisan, really, cooperation. One of the things we recently did, for example, was put together $1 trillion worth of spending cut recommendations for the so-called Super Committee with the organization U.S. Public Interest Research Group. They consider themselves a left-of-center outfit, and yet What we're doing here is trying to show the super committee members that you don't have to just put on a show here and argue amongst yourselves and let this process drag on past the election. You can come to agreement on certain things to reduce the federal budget. We did it, so can you. Mm-hmm. And that's what the lesson of this report is.
You mentioned the super committee. I was at a luncheon recently with Senator Jeff Sessions, the junior senator from Alabama, and I asked him about the super committee, and he does not like the super committee. He said he basically, as I understand his fairly long answer, which was very good, that he feels like the super committee is another way of kicking the budget process can down the road to avoid a vote before a vote by the entire Congress, especially the Senate, before the next election. Now, what do you think about that?
Unfortunately, that could be one of the outcomes. We keep thinking that, well, this law has passed setting up the super committee, setting up deadlines, requiring votes by Thanksgiving on a package, or otherwise automatic budget cuts kick in, and you have to have a vote on a balanced budget amendment after October 1st. Well, mm-hmm. That's not necessarily the case, because all this law is statutory. What they passed can be easily unpassed by a simple voice vote if they decide they'd like to chicken out of these decisions again, and that's mm-hmm. quite possible. You know, it's been said that what they really agreed on with this budget agreement was to disagree later and perpetually.
Right. And what the senator was saying is no, you know, a lot of people in Washington don't want to stake their claim or put their reelection in jeopardy by voting on something that would be unpopular with their, you know, with their constituents. And that's the reason why this is being pushed off. Well, you know what? That's not leadership. That's not legislating. That's punting, frankly. And we got to get those guys out of there. Tintail, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.